You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, social media has made an impact as a category of online discussion where organizations and people create content, share it, and network at an increasing rate. Now, customer co-creation is a hot topic amongst university students and other stakeholders as well. So Ronald Nyamukua joins us to share his findings on his research about the social media tools and customer value co-creation as per his recently published paper on the Journal of Research and Innovation for Sustainable Society, and is joining us on the line. Good evening, Ronald.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm great. I'm great. Thank you.
How was your day?
My day was good. Productive as usual. Yeah. And yours?
Mine was okay. It was okay. Nothing much. Mm-hmm. We are just subjected to the heat wave here in South Africa. So it's hot. It's hot. And where I am, it's hot. I have the aircon on. I think it's sitting at minus 17 or something like 17. Yes, that's the correct one. So that's how hot it is at this time of the hour. But great to have you on board once again. Really appreciate your time. Before I even go anywhere, can you please tell people again about yourself and what you do?
All right. I'm in the tech space.
Yeah.
We, as a company, we are into systems development, providing software solutions to businesses and also hardware solutions. And we also train people how to use the tech. So our mandate is to just bridge the gap between technology and humanity. Right. So whilst we train you how to use the tech, we also provide solutions, and we've got a couple of solutions that we are implementing here in Zimbabwe for the market contextual to the Zim economy. I mean, I think it also applies. We definitely want to go throughout Africa because we face similar challenges. So, yeah, that's our mandate as a company.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Social media. Before we even get into your work on this particular field as well, what sparked your interest in this particular field?
Well, because it's a key area of interest. I spend a lot of time on social media and the internet itself.
Yeah.
It's a great resource for reading. It's a great, these are great tools for studying and for exploring the world from the comfort of your room.
I mean,
I can go on pages of Miami and see what's happening there.
Yeah.
I can talk to people across the world. Social media has removed the geographical boundaries. So I thought to myself, since a lot of people are stemming businesses, billion-dollar businesses through social media, how can the African context benefit from the same platforms that are helping other businesses to bloom and flourish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In terms of social media, I mean, just to go back, because I think it's an important context there. Like you said, I love the fact that, you know, you could literally be sitting there and knowing what's happening in Miami and all these other places. Over the years, what are we seeing when it comes to social media? I mean, this thing was not there like, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? But like you're saying, we spend every single day on this thing called social media.
Yeah. So whilst it wasn't present a couple of years back, however, now it is more dominant, right? Gone are the days of mainstream television advertising being the only channel to get viewership or to air your products. So this is the reason behind is that this is where people between 18 and 29 averagely spend most of their time, where the people get back from work, Whilst we still have the newspaper, the social media platforms are now the day-to-day newspaper. You know, fathers are still coming home, they expect a cup of tea, they eat their supper, then they glued on their smart screens and their smartphones.
That's an interesting one. So, I think older people, sorry on that, I think older people have a problem with young people, and you mentioned the 18 to 29-year-olds that are on social media, and then you've got this other one where they do these challenges on older people and all that. I mean, where do we join the two, I suppose? I don't want to call them generations, but with the 18 to 29s and those beyond in their 40s, 50s who might not understand this thing. Because, and that's why I was asking, a couple of years ago, this thing was not there. It seems like it's taken over the world by storm, and I suppose the 18 to 29-year-olds, in contrast to the older generation.
Yeah. So, there's always been a need for information symmetry. And over the years, information was very hard to find. And you've seen businesses that have made money because of information. I will help you get clients in China to bring stuff to Zimbabwe. But now with technology, you can actually Google and find clients in China yourself. That's reducing your costs. So with the gap between the two, in quotes, generations, the only way we can bridge the gap is when we meet the problems of older generation. The reason why there is a lot of adaptation from the young people is because our needs have been met. I want to show the world that I was in Mozambique. So I will post pictures there and everyone will see me there. But for the older generation, we still need to look for their needs and their wants and what would probably make them appreciate technology a bit more. And that's how we can bridge that gap.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, value creation or core value creation sounds like a difficult concept. What are we talking about there?
Okay, so value creation, maybe value creation and customer value, one word. Then core value creation is another word. So when we talk of customer value, we are saying the prescribed benefits that the customer gets in exchange for the money they pay for a service or a product. This could be in terms of moments that are created by a product or a service. When you go to Nyanga, what experience did you have there? So what makes a group of teenagers say our trip to the Table Mountain was successful? The fact that someone proposed and they got a life partner there, right? It's a moment. It's a creation of it becomes valuable to a client when their perceived needs have been met. Then when we talk of core value creation, we are saying in order to get to the customer value, to say when a customer pays money and we give them a service or a product, let's include them in curating of the product. So if I'm running a hospitality, if I'm in the hospitality industry, and I've got a group of people who are coming for Christmas, I want to engage them and say, guys, what would make your Christmas memorable at the Table Mountain, for example? Then they tell you, we want to have a braai, a bonfire, and all that. Then you create. So what you've essentially done, you have created a service that you're running, tailor-made to each client. So a good example is the IKEA furniture group. It stems back to the 1990s, where they started creating furniture for the elites and for the poor, right? The less privileged. They've got furniture for everyone. So if you get into a less privileged person's home, you find the same label, though it may not be as strong, but their houses speak and span.
Okay.
That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. So it means you create with the customer the value that the customer wants to derive or get, whatever the case might be. That's the core value creation there.
Yes.
Aspect of it in short, and excuse my very slow mind, I mean, as I try and make sense. So social media then. Now how does social media plug into that? Is it a case of social media being a vehicle in which a customer can co-create with you or service provider what value they want to get? So in other words, they tell you what they want on social media, or how does this work? Now, what is the role of social media?
All right. So social media has sort of come in, like subconsciously, it has come in to replace the hard paper questionnaire.
Right.
How many times have you gone to a shop and they give you a paper, or you are sent a Google Sheets form where you have to fill in a survey, and they're asking you, how would you rate our product?
Yes.
What would you make us improve, right?
Yes.
And sometimes you are very uncomfortable to fill that in because the person, sometimes it's a sensitive area, or your comment is very sensitive, and maybe you fear being identified as a person who commented in a certain way. However, it happens naturally on social media.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It happens like maybe someone posts a bus that gets into an accident with another bus.
Yeah.
And then people start chucking comments. They naturally, these people are fast. We tell them to slow down. They don't. You know, you get all that information for free.
Yeah.
Right. From what we call keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
People will comment. And this is, however, there's a divide between companies and social media, because companies really, really are still fearing the effects of what social media does, because it's a mixed bag of people who just generally hate your product or their competitors. But however, it's a very more efficient way of now creating value. So you post a product, people give you your comments, their reviews. Everyone has got data, and people don't think about the comments that they're putting. You assign a department to gathering that information on socials, and you actually attend to those. And then you come up now with a product 2.0 and say, following up on your comments, this is what we have done. So that's where we are trying to say universities, industries, shops must take advantage of social media.
Sure.
To create products, to create a better service
for the
market.
I love that. So it also shortens the time, right, in between 2.0, the constant improvements that businesses have to make in terms of their products and their services, right? Instead of a long form and, you know, getting 5-6 pages, which most people are most probably not going to complete in any ways. But if it's a simple thing that you publish on social media with a link, they click on that link, you just say to them, this will take you a minute or two, and all that, and then gives you all the insights that people are saying, well, we actually don't like this product, or we actually like this product, but if you can change this and that, improve on this, then you are creating something that's closer to what your customers may want, right? I think that's an amazing one, because I don't think a lot of us have time actually to be filling out forms and stuff like that and stuff like that. Now
we don't
before we even get into your research then, and just outlining for us, I'm actually seeing it now on the internet. You see the thing about the internet, like you said, it's lovely because I can look at it now and search for your paper here, and I see it here. But what I wanted to say is, there's often the issue of the fact that I might get the link, but I'd be like, I know, I'm fine, I don't want to do it. So how do companies then use social media, or is it part of your findings in your research? I don't know. But how do they use this platform? Because there is still the risk that someone might not, even though they might have seen it on your social media page as a company or whatever, but there is the risk that they might just not even complete the thing.
Okay, so a post on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we introduce a new term called customer engagement.
Yeah.
Okay? You make a post on Twitter and you say you're running this campaign.
Yes.
People are naturally going to comment. Okay.
The links
will not get a lot of responses because you have to put your email there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you put it out on social media. People have fake names and all that on socials, right? People are naturally going to give you their instant remarks and their honest opinions.
Yeah.
Without the fear of being identified as the trouble causer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just as an example of how people do this. Sometimes, I don't know if you've seen some products where people say, look, if you like the product, please just post, let's say an event.
Mm.
Take a selfie at this event, post it on your social media, tag us and put hashtag I was here or something like that.
Yes.
That's a very quick way of seeing how much people are invested in your product.
Yeah.
If I'm not invested with the product, then I definitely don't want to be associated with it.
Yeah.
I will not post and I will not be happy to post about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's interesting. Okay, let's get into your research, starting, I suppose, with why, right? And I'm reading on your discussion of results. It says the first objective of the study focused on determining the role of social media as value co-creation tools in universities. Therefore, it was necessary for this study to first identify the role of social media in universities. And I think we've already touched a little bit on that particular aspect about that bit of co-creation there. But please take us through the thing. What was the thinking? What sparked the interest? And maybe importantly, what do your results mean for businesses and customer creation and value creation going forward?
Okay, so this then links with the mission for our business.
Yeah,
we want to bridge the gap between technology. We want to bridge the gap between universities and industry, because you've got students who are coming out of universities packed with theoretical knowledge, but fresh and empty of industrial experience.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So social media is a very good tool that universities can get information from its stakeholders, right? Stakeholders, meaning the students themselves.
Yes.
Right? Meaning companies that are looking for students.
Yeah.
Or graduates to employ.
Yeah.
It means the parents who are paying the school fees and other stakeholders at large.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So without necessarily knocking on a company's door, there are some companies that it's very hard to see the relevant stakeholders.
Yes.
Business to business, university to companies, university to students can contact each other on social platforms.
Yeah.
Right? There's someone manning the platform there. There's someone manning the platform there.
Yeah.
So it's easier to have interactions, ask, and to find out what is lacking in industry. How can we better tailor our students to be more industry relevant? Mm. Students, there are people who come from Zimbabwe to South Africa and vice versa to learn, because there are certain skills that they don't have, right? Mm. Universities can simply just run a survey on Facebook, on Twitter, or literally just read through the comments where they've released their new tech programs, and people will say, so you don't have data analytics, you don't have this, you don't have that. Those are some of the ways that universities can take advantage of social platforms to just gather data if they are diligent enough to read through the comments and responses from people.
And did you find that university students are particularly responsive to such, I suppose, endeavors that, universities do? Because it says to me then that we can actually curate a curricula that is more aligned to interest of all stakeholders, particularly, I suppose, students. But there's often this thing that says that students come out of universities dry. And by dry, I mean that, like you said, they lack the industry experience. That's one. But also, there's often this thing that universities are producing what's not needed in the market. And what I'm hearing you say is, well, what universities can do then is they can also run and use social media to run some sort of information gathering for curating curricula that will then align graduates to what industry needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we definitely can have, universities must actually use these platforms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Students, people naturally, so back to our research in the paper, we did a research, and research shows that a great chunk, like almost 80% of a certain generation of children are on social media, right? If I'm looking for a university placement, I'm going to go on Facebook, I'm going to go on Twitter, I'm going to go on Google and search for universities offering social work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now imagine the university doesn't have a social social media platform.
Sure.
Right. Which is probably the easiest way to for the student to reach them. Right. As opposed to actually traveling maybe from their home to the university to inquire and all that, and all the expenses that come with it. Students can actually then find out on social media. If companies are looking for top students who've just graduated, and universities have posted graduates, their graduates, and all the people who had the book prices, it's easier to pick out. It's easier to pick out without cost incurred, without wasting time. It becomes a seamless relationship that happens. Yeah,
sure, okay. And what is the lost opportunity for, I suppose, universities, businesses, that are not taking advantage of this social media platforms, and conversely as well, what is the opportunity for those that are taking advantage of social media?
The lost opportunity is that you're not taking advantage of free advertising or close to the cost incurred when advertising on social media.
Yeah,
cannot be compared to the cost of airtime on mainstream TV channels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The cost of running social media ads cannot be compared to the cost of running foot soldiers in town and printing t-shirts and making people wear caps advocating for a certain platform or product. Okay. The it's by far less way cheaper to put a link to an application that you want people to start using on social media.
Yeah.
Right. And also the opportunity that comes now with social media is partnering with social media influencers. Okay. Those people, or even digital marketing firms, those people with a huge chunk of followership. Again, you also have to do your homework in terms of the post engagement that people get. Right. So when you say you want to run a campaign or for a product, you then partner with a famous social media person and you advertise through them, you definitely gain more traction, a lot of traction, accompanied with every other.
Yeah.
So if you're not using it, you are just depriving yourself, because the person you want to go and ask for 5 minutes in their workplace or in their home is probably not going to be attentive, rather than if you had just posted this on a social platform and they choose to scroll down or look at it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely makes sense. I'm looking at just some of the rather, you know, more technical aspects of it and the statistical variances and all that. Which we will leave that to academics and people like that. But how... Yeah. Let's take it home now. Let's take it home and say, where do we even start? Do I start by opening up a page if I'm a small business and also want to take advantage of, now that I know that I can create some sort of value, allowing my customers to also collaborate with me on this, is me opening a Facebook page or opening a TikTok page and exposing myself to such the first thing to do? Because people can get very brutal on these social media platforms.
Yes, so there's a lot of knowledge that needs to come to be accompanied with using social media platforms. Yeah, yeah, it's very easy to ruin your image or the perception of people. It's also very easy to boost your viewership and to spiral your popularity.
Yeah.
Whether it's on TikTok or it's on Facebook or any other platform. So there's a lot of knowledge absorption that needs to happen. And we are there for that. As a company, we are there to train people, of course, at a cost, but we are there to train people on that. We are also there to do the marketing for people, or to connect people to marketers who are legit and can actually help.
Yeah.
So the first step, obviously, is to just create those pages. But it's important. Even YouTube, people can go on YouTube and actually find out how to create a business account. Okay. Yeah. So whilst people can, instead of just posting about the fun side of your life, you can take advantage to seek more business internationally, removing the geographical boundaries, because someone who is going to be looking for a social, maybe a podcaster, for example, whenever they Google podcasters in South Africa, your name will come up because you've taken advantage of the location. When you're posting, you have written it was nice attending the so-and-so event in Johannesburg, which happened from the so-and-so date to this, and you show your work. It's credit, right? It's actually credit for you, and it's a track record. It's a CV on its own. The first step is to just learn about it before you can create an account.
Yeah, yeah. Lest you find yourself in trouble there. How can people get a hold of you and, of course, your company?
Okay, people can get a hold of us on our social media pages. That is Ronix Trainings. Or my personal contact, which is the company contact number, that's +263 771 643 354. I hope that was okay. Or by email. Which is nyamukuaronald@gmail.com. That's my personal email.
Fantastic. And congratulations on the paper.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm actually finishing off a paper on activating AI.
Ah, look at
Well, I just contextualize it to Zimbabwe, but I mean, it applies almost to everyone.
You like this thing, eh?
Well, it's my place.
It's your place.
They say if you can do it even at 3 a.m. in the morning, then that's your calling.
Definitely, it's definitely a calling. Well, we'll talk about that AI paper very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, have a good one, man. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Have a good one.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.